chapter number 22. As a couple know, I didn't come all this way just to get out. They'll know who I'm talking to. They'll laugh. 2 Kings chapter number 22. When you find your place, if you would, please stand for the reading and the honoring of the Word of God, because it's worth honoring, amen? Amen? Just got just a few verses. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
If you ain't, say hang on. Oh, I'll wait. Because I want us all to take a look at what happens in this text. And I want us to see what the effects of not having this are and the effects of when we do have the Word of God. Listen to me. Read along with me. Verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adaiah of Bozkath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which was brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Now they're talking about repairing the temple. Now listen, howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. Listen to these next 5 verses. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it unto the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered. He hath delivered me a book, my God. And Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah the servant of the king, saying, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. My God. That is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all. It doesn't say some, but it says all that which is written concerning us. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I just ask that you just touch us tonight. God, help me, God. Hide me behind you, God. God, I'm nothing without you, God, tonight, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you just give fresh anointing, God, to this servant of yours, God, this lowly of lowlies, God. God, I pray, God, that you give the people, God, your people, Lord, ears to hear. God, that they leave this place, God, and they just be revived, God, and that we'll be made new, God, this night, this very hour, God, but not by nothing else, not by the singing, but God, by the reading of the Word of God. I love you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You've got Josiah as the king, been the king since he was 8 years old. Man, what a young king, youngest I think ever. And he finds himself doing, in verse number 2, the Bible says he done that which was right, David, in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the ways of the Lord, walked after his father David, King David, done all of this stuff. And he done that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Amen. And the Bible talks about how 18 years had passed. And they find themselves in the rebuilding of the temple. They're taking up money at the back, kind of just how I view it today. And they're getting money together, and they're taking it to those that are building the temple, giving them money to build, money to buy things that were needed to repair that which the kings before, through idolatry, through all of these terrible things, had breached the walls of this temple. And now they're trying to repair it back. Now, take note of 18 years they've been in this place, and Josiah knew who God was. He walked in his ways, but 18 years, and all of a sudden, what's found in the temple? The book of the law. The Pentateuch, the words of Moses, the first five books are found. Some commentators say that it was mainly the books of Deuteronomy. The scripture of the book of Deuteronomy was found, and they found that place. And I thought about that word found, Brother David. Woo! That word found means that if you got to find something, you're seeking after something that's lost. And friend, can I tell you that some churches today, friend, they're more focused on what's the building of the temple. They make sure everything looks good, but they've lost the Word of God on the inside of the building. My, what a sad day. What a sad day it would be for Liberty Free Will Baptist to lose the Word of God. This is the word of the living God. Amen. Amen. Friend, this is the word that won't perish. This is the word that won't vanish. This is the word that'll outlive us all. Amen. That'll stay true. Amen. It's true. And friend, tonight I just want to preach just on the simple thought of what's happened to the book. What's happened to the book, Brother Donald. You see, Christians today, and man, I was like this, and friend, Christians today, after a certain time of being a Christian, friend, we think kind of we've got this thing whooped, and we can get out of the Word. Before you know it, it'll be 1 week, and then that 1 week will turn into months, and then months will turn into years, and friend, you won't even be done crack the cover on the book. And friend, what's happened to the book in the life of the Christian? What's happened to the book? Well, I've got good news. It's still there. It's still here. Amen. It's still here. Friend, the book's still alive. Friend, it's still well. It ain't changed, and it ain't never going to change. It's going to stay true to the very end. Amen. But tonight we see this king all of a sudden goes without and has no recollection of the words of God, of the book of the Word, the book of the law, and he finds himself just going through the motion. Just going through the motion. just doing everyday things that may be needed. Friend, can I tell you, Sunday school teachers, preacher knows this, deacons, let me tell you, don't let the ministry, don't let the ministry take place of the book. And I mean that. Don't let you think you're too high up to crack the book, because ain't none of us worthy even to have a copy of the book. Amen? Amen. And Josiah's went through this time, and he finds himself, and all of a sudden, he finds himself hearing the word, the book of the law. He hears the word of God. Amen. And friend, there's some things that I want us to look at tonight that the word of God would do to somebody that's looking and seeking. And friend, maybe you here tonight and you're thinking, man, that dude's spitting a lot and he's awful loud. But friend, I got something to be loud about. Amen. I was loud for the devil for a long time. And now I believe that as a Christian, I can be loud for King Jesus. Amen. Number one, I want us to see tonight, I want us to see the conviction of the word. You see, the word, that's what it brings forth to each and every one of us, friend. The conviction we see over here in our text, that whenever the book of the law, it was found. Amen. In verse number 11, when the king just heard the words of the book, when he just heard the words of the book presented to him by Shaphan, he rent his clothes. And friend, renting clothes, we see it in the play where Robert sitting up there, and he rents his clothes out of anger and out of anguish for what's going on. And here we see that king, the king of Judah, all of a sudden hears the word of God, Brother Blake, and he rips his clothes. He rents his clothes. What does that mean? Well, it means that all of a sudden, that ear had not heard those words in a long time. And all of a sudden, when those words came about, Brother Dallas, that all of a sudden, deep, deep conviction began to set in. And he knew those words were true. And he probably remembered those words from the time in which he walked in the ways of the Lord, as the Bible just said. He rent his clothes. Deep conviction. Revival and spiritual awakenings are marked by such expressions of the conviction of sin. The conviction of sin. When we get all that, the repentance of the sin, when we see our sin and what it done, friend, it brings forth revival in our life, or sets us up for such things. And not only did he rend his clothes that we see by the conviction of the word, but the remorse, my God, was felt by the king. The feeling of remorse was so devastating that it felt in the word that if he couldn't even speak to God, because he told Hilkiah and Shaphan, he should go to all of those people of Judah and to Jerusalem and to the temple and tell them these words that were brought forth out of this book. I've never felt, I don't guess, that deep sense of remorse. I've been remorseful, but probably not in the aspect of this right here. 18 years, I've only been saved 12. And friend, can I tell you that whenever I do something, Brother Jackie, and it's wrong, and I know it's wrong, and all of a sudden I get to church and I sit down in the pew, and all of a sudden I feel like the preacher is doing like this straight to me. Feel like he's pointing the finger at you, friend. That is what is called remorse of a conviction of sin. Amen. Psalm 51. Turn with me. Psalm 51. We see such great remorse. We see remorse that happened over in 2 Samuel chapters number 11 and 12. Y'all know the story of David and Bathsheba, and all these things that went on. And he finds himself writing this psalm. Have mercy upon me, O God. That ought to be the first thing out of every one of our mouths whenever we reach the conviction of sin is, God, Brother Adam, have mercy on me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, Brother Dallas, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me, Brother Jackie, from my sin. My God, for I have knowledge, my transgression and my sin. Friend, I felt like this. My sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You see, he's a rightful judge. He's a righteous judge. And he says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Amen. That's all of us. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Listen to these last three verses. Create in me. Not creating the person on the other aisle, not creating the person on the other pew, but friend, Brother Blake, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. My God in heaven, restore. My God, I'm glad he's the God of restoration. Amen. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Amen. Thank you.
Friend, this is a remorseful psalm. As King David begins to write, and the memory, I can imagine as he brings it all back, as he's pinning it down, and he begins to think about those things that maybe he could have avoided, and friend, could have just canceled all the remorse that he felt. But all of a sudden he finds himself just pinning this psalm down, and it's bringing back the memory of what all began to happen. And I imagine as he's writing this, friend, that there for a little while, that remorse began to set back in. Amen. But he said, restore unto me thy salvation. Amen. I'm glad that he does that. Not only a friend do we see in Josiah's life, King Josiah, the conviction of the word. But friend, I want us to see the compelling of the word. And what does that mean to compel? That means to forcefully and oblige somebody to do something, to bring somebody in, maybe by force. And friend, can I tell you, that's what the word of the living God will do. It'll grab you. I'm telling you, I've been there, so I know what I'm talking about. But I've been there where I hadn't read, and all of a sudden, Brother Robert, I pick up that word, and it begins to just grab me. It begins to just pull me in, and there's something that I just can't do. I can't quit reading the word. In Luke 14, we're reminded of a great supper where this supper was prepared. And all of a sudden, there were folks that were invited to this feast or this supper. And friend, the supper got done, and he tells them to go out and get them. And you know what tends to happen? Same thing that happens today, that friend, they begin to make excuses as to why they couldn't come to the supper. Friend, they made excuses as to why, Brother Robert, they couldn't pull up a seat to the table. And friend, they begin to say, well, I've got this and I've got that going on. And friend, he said this, pretty much, he said, forget about them. He said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come and fill the house. Compel them to come, and that's what the Word of God will do to you. It'll compel you. It'll grab you by the nape of the neck, and it'll begin to just pull the same way that it does me. But I want us to see in this compelling of the Word of God that there was something, and it's something that we all experience. But friend, when we've been away for a while, like the prodigal son, and we come back to the Father's house, we begin to be reminded of who God is. We begin to be reminded. Listen to me, young folk. I would encourage you to get in your Bible.
Amen.
And I mean that. I mean it. I mean it with all my heart, because it'll keep you from a lot of things. But friend, I want you to know that, friend, how can we be reminded of who God is? You see, it brought back remembrance to his mind. Verse 2, I told you earlier that he done, Josiah, at 8 years old, when he began to reign, he done that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Friend, he knew what it was to do that which was right. And friend, all of a sudden that word begins to get open, and that which has been some 18 years, and all of a sudden his ear, Brother Jackie, is beginning to hear some familiar words that he heard maybe once he became king, and all of a sudden it brought back his remembrance of who God is. You see, in Revelation chapter number 2, you'll see that the church of Ephesus is there, and he begins to tell, John pins it down, he begins to tell all of these good things that they've done. And then it gets to a point. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Why? Because thou hast left thy first love. You see, friend, he didn't leave. They left the first love. And I want you to go there with me. Go there with me. I want to read this, because this is to the church in Ephesus. But friend, we can apply this to our life. We can apply this to you and I, that whenever we get so involved in ministry, we get so involved in the things that are just life, things that are just going on. Friend, he says this, because thou hast left thy first love. And the first word of verse number 5, he says, remember, Brother Jackie, remember from whence thou art fallen. Go back. Go back to the place. Go back to it. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Remember, repent, and repeat the process. Amen. Remember from whence thou art. Remember where you fell from. Amen. Go back to the place. Exodus 3, we see this reminder of Moses as the children of Israel have all of a sudden been released out of bondage and released out of captivity, and they're making their way to where God has them to be. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day. You see, friend, he wanted to remember this day in which he came out, my God in heaven. Listen, whence you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Anybody remember when they got saved? Amen. Friend, you guess what? You come out of Egypt. You, anytime you hear Egypt, it's a picture of the world.
Amen.
Amen. When you come out of bondage, friend, that's a picture of the world.
Amen.
And friend, go back and remember. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Remember where God brought you from. Amen, friend. I don't like to give the devil no credit, but I believe for the Christian, especially during this time, that it's good for us to just take a step back and just to remember back in time from where he brought us from. Amen. My God in heaven. We need to be reminded. I began to think about this. And things get a little haywire when I get to thinking. But I began to think about this thing. And I said, Lord, I need a little something else. I need some more. When all I need is the Word of God. But this, listen to this, that sometimes for the Christian now, for the saved, the blood bought, the born again, the redeemed, friend, sometimes you need to be reminded that it's not who you are, but it's whose you are. Amen. That friend, you're a child of the living God. Friend, you're the child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're the child of the Alpha and the Omega. You're the child of the great I Am. You're the child of the one and the only, that which was and is to come, the Word of the living God. That's who you're a child of, friend. You're not just a nobody. You're somebody to him. You're somebody.
Amen.
Even in your lowest of lows, remember that you're a child of the King, man. Yeah. You're a child of the living God. Not, you can go out there to Israel, and friend, they gather around that tomb day in and day out, hours at a time, and guess what, Brother Blake? He ain't there.
Amen.
He ain't there. You can go to Muhammad's tomb, and the girls sing that song, you can go to those tombs. You can go to Muhammad's. You can go to Buddha's, and you can slide that old grave top open, and you can look down in there, and guess what there'll be? There'll be a bag of bones laid up in there. Friend, why? Because they dead, Brother Robert. They dead, but the God, my God, the one that we serve, he's not dead, but he's alive, and he lives, Brother Mickey, forevermore. Amen. And one day, as those apostles were looking in Acts, as they were looking up, he said, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus, my God in heaven, that's gone up, this same Jesus that went away, it's coming back in like manner. Amen. And friend, if you're a child of the King, he's coming to get you. My God, that's good for an introduction. That's good for an introduction. Not only do we have the conviction of the Word, and not only do we have the compelling by the Word, but friend, here in Josiah's life, he was convicted and compelled to do one thing. And it's the one thing that the Word of God only can do, Brother Jackie. He was convicted and he was compelled to change his life.
Amen.
To change his life. You say, what do you mean? Y'all going to give me a minute.
Come on,
but the Bible says in chapter number 23, it says, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And listen to what it says in verse number 2. It says, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and the people, both small and great. And listen to what he done. And he read. First off, he wasn't reading. He was getting read to. Right? He was getting read to. Shaphan was reading it to him. Now we find a change, a shift in his life. And he beginning to get to be read to. Now he's reading to the people. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And you say, what do you mean? How's that got to do with changing? Friend, reading the Word will change your life.
Amen.
Just reading the Word.
Amen.
Listen to this. There was a study done. You see, reading it one to three times a week didn't yield much results as this test was taken. But 4 days a week was this magic number. That something all of a sudden, if you read it 4 times in a week, 4 days, that all of a sudden something, Brother Jackie, began to happen in an individual's life. Listen to this. The feeling of loneliness dropped 30%. The anger issues dropped 32%. Bitterness in relationships dropped 40%. Alcoholism dropped 57%. Sex outside of marriage dropped 68%. Feeling spiritually stagnant dropped 60%. Viewing pornography dropped 61%. Now those are the things that just reading the word of God drops, but all of a sudden it also has a positive effect as well. Not only does it do all of those things, it drops those things and thank God for it, but sharing your faith jumps 200%. Sharing your faith jumps 200%. Listen to this. Discipling others jumps 230%. I don't know about y'all, but that's just reading the word. That's just simply sitting down at the table, reading the word. And so what the word can do for you is it can provide a change in your life. Amen. Just by reading John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in me, in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done. Amen. Unto you. I listened to some podcasts and I listened to this fella, don't throw, cast no judgment. George Janko's his name, and he talks to this Christian guy named Cliff. I forgot his last name. I was trying to remember it, but I forgot. And this Cliff guy goes on campuses and he just presents the word of God. And he's talking to him. And they begin to talk about how a Christian, if he doesn't read the word of God, he said that, I don't think that you're a Christian. He said, I'm not trying to be judgmental. He said, but I don't think that you can be a Christian and not read the word of God. Come on. And he said, because God forbid my dad pass away or my dad leave. And he leave letters. And he leave letters to me. He said, I would read those letters each and every day. He said, because I'd want to remember his face. He said, but I'd also want to hear his voice. And friend, if you want to hear the voice of God, or if you want to feel the breath of God, friend, take your Bible like this and do it like that real quick. And I've oftentimes said this, that little breeze that you feel upon the side of your face is the breath of God. You know why? Because it comes from the word of the living God. Amen.
Amen.
Some of y'all looking at me crazy. But not only does the changing of the word come by the reading of the word, but I want us to see this in King Josiah's life. That not only did all of a sudden he begin to read the words of the living God. Let's talk about change. There'll be a rededication. And here we see a rededication of Josiah, King Josiah, through the power of the word.
Amen.
And I read to you those things as to what he done, as how all of a sudden, friend, that he wasn't reading it, Brother Robert. And then all of a sudden, he begins to pick up the book. And he begins to read it. And all of a sudden, a change began to happen in this king. And listen to what he says. He says, after he began to read in the house of the Lord, verse number 3 of verse 20 of chapter 23, it says, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord. He made a covenant that I'm just not going to throw this covenant upon deaf ears, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put some action behind it. And friend, that's what we need to do, is we need to get back to putting action behind the word. He said, I'm going to walk after you and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And listen to what he said. The king's talking now. Look at what he says. The very last sentence. It says, and all the people, everybody that heard the word, they stood to the covenant. What does that mean? That they said, all right, we about to take this thing on. You see, the king's before, and if you read ahead, the king's after, done that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. But they said, just for right now, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stand on this covenant, and we're going to do exactly what the king read. And we're going to walk after him, friend. We're going to keep his testimonies. We're going to keep his statutes and keep his commands. Matthew 6:33, you know the scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isaiah 55:6-7 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found, keeping his commandments. The Bible says in John 14, I'll never forget it, Sunday school, we hit on this thing, Brother David, I'll never forget it. But John 14:15, the Bible says, and I believe those words are in red, that if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, friend, if you're a born-again believer, we ought to keep his commandments. Friend, we ought to keep the witness. We ought to keep the ordinance and the testimonies of this here book.
Amen.
Amen. To perform it, they all stood by the king. Not only was there reading, rededication, but I want us to see this, that there was a reformation because of the word. Hey, man, there was something that began to take place. You see, when those disciples over there in Luke, whenever Jesus was coming, they began to be in sorrow and being down, and they began, two of them were walking by one another, and they were telling each other, going back and forth, and all of a sudden a third man come up. And he began to kind of ask them, this is just paraphrasing, but he began to ask, what's going on? What's going on? And they began to say, have you not heard? Have you not heard? Have you not heard what's going on in town? They've crucified him and all of these things. They began to be all of this all stuff, and you've not heard? And friend, they walk on. And they began to about to get to this point where Jesus was going to keep going. They didn't know it was him, by the way, but it was. The fourth man in the fire was the third man on the dirt road. And all of a sudden, they said, we like those words. Why don't you come and dine at our house? Come over. And it was whenever they sat down at meat, whenever he broke the bread, that their eyes were open to who he was. And he vanished. He was gone. And all of a sudden, you know what happened? Something began to burn upon the inside of them. Their hearts began to yearn after the word of God. Something began to happen inside of them. And friend, I can tell you that they didn't walk over there to the other disciples, but they began to run. They began to walk after, not walk after, but to run after and tell those disciples what they had seen. In here in chapter 23, we see this reformation that begins to happen. And listen, just listen, you don't have to follow along. And I'm done. Whoever's doing the special singing, I don't know who it is, but listen to this, that all of a sudden those words were read, that conviction began to happen, and all of a sudden the compelling of the word began to happen, and all of a sudden this changing began to take place, amen, in the life of King Josiah. And as this began to happen, he read the word, friend, he rededicated himself to the word, but he just didn't stop there. Friend, that reformation took place. What does that mean? That means there was a little bit of action behind. He began to reform some things. He began to go in and to run some things out. You see, the house of God is a house of prayer, but he said, you've made it into a den of thieves. Amen. But he did this. He got the vessels made of Baal out of the temple and burned them in the field of Kidron. He carried ashes on to Bethel. He put down the idolatrous priests. He put them down. Well, he killed them. And the Bible talks about how he burned their ashes, how he burned the groves at the brook of Kidron and began. He just didn't burn them and just leave the ashes there, Brother Jackie. He began to stomp the ashes. And just imagine the feeling that he had. He broke down the houses of the Sodomites where the women wove hangings. He tore down the gates of the high places, which was where they would went for idolatry worship. He took down the high places and burned them and stomped the ashes as well. He reinstituted the Passover. He burned the bones of those idolatrous priests. He broke down the graven images. Amen. Colossians 2 and 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Amen. Walk in the ways of the Lord. Ephesians 5 and 8. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Amen. Walk as the children in the light. You see, when I was lost and when you were lost, we were wandering around in darkness. But friend, when you get born again, you begin to walk in a thing called the light. Amen. And I'm glad of it, friend. But all of a sudden, there was this reformation that began to take place. James 1 and 22, you all know the text. But to be ye doers, amen, of the words, of the word, and not just hearers only. Amen. Amen. We're supposed to do, if you want revival, and I know this is long, and some of you looking at me with four eyes, but if you truly, and I mean if you truly want revival, friend, there's got to be a conviction of the word. There's got to be a compelling of the word. But friend, there's got to be a changing by the word. If you leave here the same way in which you came in, you didn't get revival. So I'm going to ask you individually what's happened to the book in your life. What's happened to the book? What's happened to the word of the living God? You say, what are you talking about? Well, friend, when you first get saved, you feel like you can take on hell with a water pistol. And all of a sudden, Brother Dave, you know what I'm talking about. You begin to read, and friend, you just indwelled in that thing. That word has compelled you. And you're sitting there, you're flipping, and all of a sudden, friend, you find your place a little stagnant. And all of a sudden, that word which you long for, which you yearn to have, that yearn to read, it puts something on the inside of you. All of a sudden, that fire that burned began to grow a little bit dim. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know. Everybody knows. Friend, you can read the word and you can feel like you're way up here. Amen. And then when all of a sudden, you know what happens? When you quit reading it for an amount of time, you'll sit there, and that thing will be laid on that nightstand. You know what you have to do every night? You'll look at it. Come on. And something on the insides tell, well, maybe it's about time to pick up the book and let it do in your life what it's supposed to do. As we stand on our feet tonight all over the place with our